Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FCN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, September 29th, and I hope you did not face David Montgomery last night, or I hope, like me, your opponent had him on the bench. In one of my most important leagues, I was like, oh no. Oh no. Oh, okay. I'm all right. He's on the bench. Sweet. All right, we're going to break down the remaining games on the slate for you here on the podcast today. And just a friendly reminder, there is a 9:30 a.m. Eastern game on Sunday morning in Jacksonville, England, the home of the Jaguars. I know Jacksonville is in Florida, by the way. But just set yourself a reminder, especially you West Coast folks, that 6:30 a.m. West Coast to just double check. Just double check. I would do it 15, 20 minutes before the game. Just double check in case any surprise inactives go down. But of course, this game is between Atlanta and Jacksonville. I have Jacksonville favored in my projections 23.2 to 20.7. On the Atlanta side, there isn't really much you can do here. Bijan, obviously, we're using. The only other usable option for me is Kyle Pitts. And yeah, I know, if you don't like Kyle Pitts, you're not going to listen to a word I say. And guess what? If you don't like Kyle Pitts, do you? I don't care at all. I don't care at all. I'm just going to tell you what I see. He had 9.1 PPR points last week. He led the team with 9 targets. And if he got hit on that darn deep ball that Desmond Ridder overthrew, it would have been a much bigger day. So he's still a top 12 option at the position. Otherwise, I mean, even Drake London, I really don't want to use him if I can get away with it. I have him at wide receiver 47 right now. I'm not overly concerned about Trevor Lawrence. The start, well, week one was very good, and then week two and three weren't, but we need a full month to really evaluate these guys. Let's see if he bounces back in this one. Let's see if Calvin Ridley can bounce back over the last 2 weeks. 5 catches on 15 targets for 72 yards. Yikes. 72nd among wide receivers in fantasy scoring over that span. Olamide Zaccheaus, Chris Moore, and Dontavian Wicks all outscored Calvin Ridley over those last 2 weeks. He also leads the NFL with 4 drops over that span. Yikes. But I'm still using him as a front-end wide receiver, too. This, if he doesn't get it done in this one, though, we will have to reevaluate. And I know I mentioned this already. Travis Etienne sets up for big volume. But remember, goal line work is not in his favor. 3 goal line carries for the Jags this season so far. None of them have gone to ETN. So it puts a little bit of a cap on what he can do, but I still like him as a top 10 option this week. Christian Kirk, wide receiver 2. Evan Ingram, top 10 option as well. Moving on to Miami and Buffalo. I have Miami losing in projections, but I'm picking them to win. My picks are subjective. My projections are more objective. But anyway, 27.1 to 25.2. What do we get as an encore? What do we get as an encore, baby? Because this is a much more, it's a more difficult matchup. There's no doubt about it. So I actually have Tua outside of the top 12. I'm still using Tyreek, obviously. And Jalen Waddle looks like he'll be back. But what do we do with the running backs? Right now, Raheem Mostert, RB16. I did move A-Chain up a little bit to RB25. He's still a flex play. And I think that's really important here. 1 week can be a fluke in the NFL. If he does it again this week, obviously we're going to have to reevaluate. But a good fantasy player is typically a conservative fantasy player week in and week out with our expectations for players, with our start-sit decisions. So both of them can be put into starting lineups, but I'm tempering expectations against a better defense this week. James Cook, volume, 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 certainly has been in his favor so far this season, enters the week with 54 touches. He's tied for 10th among running backs in touches. So that's a good thing. However, only one of them has come at the goal line. One of 54 touches has come at the goal line. Latavius Murray has 4 goal line carries. Damian Harris has 3. Don't expect James Cook to get those precious goal line carries, but he has been very, very effective elsewhere, and he remains a fringe RB1 play. Obviously, we're using Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Gabe Davis, more of a flex play. I don't know if I'm going to go as far as using Dalton Kincaid, like I mentioned on Wednesday. More of a streamer option. Denver, Chicago. I have Denver winning 24.5 to 21 in projections, and I am picking them to win this one. As far as Denver is concerned, yes, they just lost by 50 points, but sort of lost in the mix there, overshadowed, is Russell Wilson had back-to-back 300-yard games. That is good for the passing game. He's a front-end streamer play. I have him at quarterback 13 right now. Those guys move around a little bit, but he's very usable, as is Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Not moving or using, that is, Marvin Mims, but I will in DFS. Javonte Williams, RB 18. Still a split in that backfield, but he's looking pretty good. Okay, Justin Fields. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen this week. He's facing a defense that just allowed 50 points. If it doesn't happen this week, then yes, I'm done ranking him as a QB1 if it doesn't happen this week. I mentioned yesterday DJ Moore has a tough matchup. He's at wide receiver 42, and both Herbert, Khalil Herbert, and Roshan Johnson are flex plays at best. It's really all eyes on Justin Fields in this one. Baltimore, Cleveland, I actually have this one super close. Cleveland 21.4, Baltimore 21.1. I am going to take Cleveland to win, but boy, is this going to be a battle. Of course, Lamar had his 13th career 100-yard rushing game last season, extending that NFL record of his. He was quarterback 2 in fantasy scoring. He's quarterback 5 in fantasy scoring on the season. There's no way I'm going away from him. Even in a tough matchup, there's no way I'm going away from him. He's produced in tough matchups in the past. The backfield is a little complicated. Gus Edwards did clear protocol, it looks like, but we may have Justice Hill on the field as well, so I'm going to avoid the backfield here. I'm really only using Lamar. Zay Flowers is a wide receiver 3, and Mark Andrews obviously is a tight end 1. On the other side, so Amari Cooper is obviously in. The only other playable option for me, and yes, that includes Deshaun Watson. I'm a quarterback 17. I don't love that, so he's in this super flex conversation only. So the only other playable option is Jerome Ford. I've had people say they were concerned about the snaps. I don't see it. He had 37 snaps. You know, he had, what, 2.5 times roughly the amount of snaps of Kareem Hunt last week. Kareem Hunt, a little banged up, but should play in this one. So I'm going to keep rolling with Jerome Ford. He's a back-end RB2 for me this week. Cincinnati, Tennessee. I have Cincinnati 22.8, Tennessee 19.2. I agree with it. I'm taking Cincinnati to win. Joe Burrow. All right. I think I don't want to say we're completely out of the woods, but we've almost reached a clearing, okay? He played through the calf injury, avoided injured reserve and any of that stuff, and honestly didn't look that bad. I know he didn't throw for any touchdowns, but he didn't look that bad. This is a favorable matchup. He's a top 12 option for me this week. Using Ja'Marr Chase with pleasure, using Joe Mixon after a strong outing, although it's a tough matchup. T. Higgins, I know, is volatile, but I signed up for the ride. I'm going to continue to be on the ride. The Titans allowing the third most passing yards per game. On the other side, it's tough. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is trending back. He's in wide receiver 3 territory. And I actually right now have Derrick Henry just outside of the top 12 at 13. The major concern that I have is game script dependent. Like, Derrick Henry last week did not play in hurry-up situations. It was Tajay Spears. If they get behind again, that will likely replicate. Now, is this like panic? The sky is falling. Trade Henry away? No. In fact, Henry's value is down after last week. Why would we trade him away when his value is down? If you really are panicking over Henry or any other player for that matter, I'm going to mention another one shortly here. The move is to wait until they have a big game. Remember that you have been panicking and then trade them away after the big game. The problem with the psychology of fantasy football, though, is after he has a big game, you're going to think all is right with the world, and you won't want to trade him away. But anyway, he's still very usable as a fringe RB1. Tajay Spears stays on benches. Rams and Colts, Rams 21.8, Colts 21.8. And guess what, baby? I'm going Colts! Shane Steichen's squad to win this one for me, but they are tied in projections. How about that? Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, cooling off, coming back to earth, but I'm bullish on both of them in this matchup. I think this is going to be actually a pretty darn fun game. I have them both as top 10 options, not to overshadow Tutu Atwell, though. Atwell, wide receiver 21. We have to keep an eye on Tyler Higbee. So he's got an Achilles issue that caused him to miss practice on Wednesday and Thursday. As I'm recording this, I do not have a Friday practice report, so just keep that one in mind. On the other side, though, Anthony Richardson is going to play. He's good to go. He's a top 10 fantasy quarterback for me. Love Michael Pittman this week. And the only other player who's usable on Indy side is Zach Moss. 210 rushing yards over the last 2 weeks. Very, very effective. The team is completely willing to give him bell cow work. The problem, Jonathan Taylor could return next week. There's some rumblings that, you know, he looks good, he looks healthy. Yes, in theory, he could still be traded, but who's going to trade for him? Who are the teams who were interested in trading for him before? Well, Miami was one of them. Do you think they're going to trade for him now? Cleveland had a need for a moment. They signed Kareem Hunt. I don't see any team trading for him. So if he's going to play, it's for the Colts. And it could happen next week. He's eligible to return. So there is a very small sell high window on Zach Moss if you wanted to take advantage of it. Otherwise, he's RB11, so he's a top 12 play for me this week. Tampa and New Orleans. New Orleans 20.9 to 18. I agree with projections. I'm taking New Orleans to win. Rashad White has seen a lot of volume. 58 touches. That's fourth most among running backs entering the week. However, he's just 15th in fantasy scoring because he only has one total touchdown. It's not a good matchup against the Saints, 3.9 yards per carry to opposing running backs. And I'll tell you, I actually agree with his overall ranking right now. He's 15th among running backs. Guess what? I have him 15 for this week. Still usable, but it isn't an easy matchup. Evans has a tough matchup. Godwin doesn't, but I still like Evans over Godwin just from a ceiling standpoint. Jameis, of course, gets the revenge game on the other side. Only a flex option, and I had mentioned this on Wednesday. I'm sticking to that story. It's good for Olave. It's not as good for Thomas. Olave, wide receiver 14. Thomas, wide receiver 31. Alvin Kamara will return. Not a good matchup, but DeAndre Swift did just slice and dice this Tampa defense up on Monday night. So I still think you have a mid-range RB2 play in Alvin Kamara, and he's going to dominate touches in that backfield. If they do, in fact, get out to a lead, he's going to touch the ball a bunch. Maybe not be super efficient, but more than enough to put up RB2 numbers. Washington and Philly. I have Philly 25.6, Washington 18.2. I agree with them, yo. I am keeping it there and taking the Eagles. Speaking of DeAndre Swift, what the hell is going on in this backfield? Well, they used a lot of Swift early. They used a lot of Gainwell late. He had 15 touches in the game. Swift is still the preferred fantasy option, but I actually do think Gainwell might be a sort of fringe, borderline, desperation flex play at RB37. I have Swift at RB20. I like the game script here. I love the game script here for them if they do get out to the lead. Philly loves to run that football, man. They love, like, we think of them as this explosive offense, but they run the you-know-what out of the ball. Jalen Hurts, elite. A.J. Brown. Devontae Smith was a little, he was ill, he missed practice yesterday. I don't know what his status is today, but I wouldn't worry too much about it. Just keep an eye on it. And of course, we're using Goddard as well. On the other side, I mean, Sam Howell, I don't know how long he keeps this job. He's on pace for 107 sacks. That's a lot. The record's 76 by David Carr in 2002. So, yeah, I don't know how long he keeps this up. But the result right now, can't use McLaurin or Dotson with any confidence. And Brian Robinson is only a somewhat suspect flex play at RB31. I really don't like using any of these guys this week. Minnesota and Carolina. Revenge game for Adam Thielen. Minnesota 25.7, Carolina 20.0. I do agree. I have the Vikings winning. On the Vikings side, I mean, they're 0-3, but they have like elite fantasy options here. Kirk Cousins leading the league in passing yards. Justin Jefferson tied for the most receiving yards through the first three games in NFL history. TJ Hockenson leading tight ends in targets and receptions heading into this game. I mean, we're using all those guys, but how about Alexander Mattison? 125 scrimmage yards on 25 touches last week and gets a Carolina defense that has allowed 6 rushing scores to opposing running backs this season. I love him as an RB1 play this week. How about it? All right, and you could use Jordan Addison maybe as a fringe flex, or not even fringe flex, as a flex option. He's wide receiver 37. On the other side, it does look like Bryce Young is going to start. You hear the tone of my voice. I really wish it was Andy Dalton. Who would have thought that? But I still think Adam Thielen is playable as a back end wide receiver 3 against his former team. Miles Sanders, RB19, little banged up, but should be good to go this week. Pittsburgh and Houston. I have Pittsburgh 22.0 to 20.3. I agree. I have the Steelers winning. Okay. Najee Harris. If you avoided the running back dead zone, which is a period of drafts, not a type of running back, then you don't have to worry about what I'm about to say. However, if you were tempted and you just couldn't resist, Najee Harris, through the first 3 weeks of the season, is RB 40, 3.97 yards per carry. Jaylen Warren is RB 30, and they are in a full-blown timeshare. 28 snaps for Warren last week, 31 for Harris. This is a great matchup, let's be clear. But even in this great matchup, I'm still only willing to rank Harris RB 26. And here's the guy who I just alluded to. If you're panicky about Harris, here's what we need to do. We need to do whatever mojo dance or prayer, say, recite whatever incantation or whatever it is out there to get him to score maybe 2 touchdowns. And then next week, trade him away. Okay. But it's a great matchup, RB 26. I think you could flex out Warren as well. RB 33, of course, I like Pickens. Pat Freiermuth is tight end 12 this week. Be careful about C.J. Stroud. Yes, he's been performing very well, 906 passing yards over his first 3 games. But the Steelers get after the quarterback, 13 sacks through the first 3 weeks. They have pressured the quarterback on 30.3% of dropbacks, only the Browns with a higher pressure rate. So just be careful with Stroud. He's in the Superflex conversation, but not in the one quarterback league conversation. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, wide receiver 3s. Damian Pierce, a flex option. Vegas and the Chargers have the Chargers winning 27.6 to 21.9. Really love Devontae Adams here. It does look like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to clear a concussion protocol, so that's better for Adams. Jacoby Myers is a wide receiver 3 at 25 in rankings. But Josh Jacobs, okay, he had 80 yards on 20 touches last week, and that's not good for fantasy, but it is encouraging. It's an improvement, and he's in a much more favorable spot here against the Chargers. I like him as a top 10 play. Keeping an eye on Austin Eckler, trending towards getting back on the field, but not guaranteed. You may find out that he is or he isn't by the time you listen to this, but if he is, he is a top 5 fantasy running back. Fantasy receiver-wise, as I was about to say there, Joshua Palmer, just a flex option. I mean, I love this spot for Justin Herbert, but it's more Keenan Allen than anything for me. By the way, I'm not taking the cheese on Donald Parham. A lot of people picked him up, and I just don't see it. As for Quentin Johnston, keep him on benches. This is going to ramp up. It's not necessarily, I mean, if it's here this week, then that's great, but he's one of those guys, I want to see it before I use it. Dallas and the Patriots, Dallas 25.1 to 18.5. There are very few usable options. In fact, really only one on the New England side, and it's Ramondre Stevenson. That's right. Not even in this sweet, sweet revenge game am I going to use Ezekiel Elliott. RB 41 for him right now. So why? Well, this is a really tough matchup. Dallas allowing the second fewest fantasy points per game to running backs. So I even moved Stevenson back. He is back at RB 21 this week. 2.9 yards per carry after averaging 5 per carry last season. And that's about it on that side. Going to the other side, Tony Pollard, yes. CeeDee Lamb, yes. Pretty much everybody else, no. It's about as straightforward as they come. I mean, I love Pollard. It's not an easy matchup for him, but 48 rushing attempts over the last 2 weeks. Bell, Cal. Arizona, San Francisco. I have San Francisco running away with this one. 28.5 to 15.4. On the Arizona side, only one playable option. And Marquise Brown, by the way, popped up on the injury report with a thumb issue. I only had him at wide receiver 41 anyway. We'll keep an eye on that. I do not have a Friday injury report right now. It's just James Conner, and I don't even love him. He's at RB 29, and he's got a really tough matchup here against a very good San Francisco defense. Opposing backfields are averaging just 37 rushing yards per game this season against San Francisco. 37, that's it. On the other side, keep an eye on Debo. If he plays, he's top 12. The ribs issue could keep him on the sideline. I honestly don't know yet. He went DNP on Wednesday and Thursday. If he doesn't go, Brandon Ayuk slides up into front-end wide receiver 2 territory. We know we're using McCaffrey. How about Kittle, though? Last year against the Cardinals, he caught 8 balls for 113 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's in 2 games. So top 5 option in season long, he is a DFS dynamo for me this week. Kansas City and the Jets, obviously Kansas City here, 26.6 to 16.4. It's weird when you have such an explosive offense and yet only three usable options, Mahomes, Kelce, and Pacheco for me this week. And really the reason for that is what they're doing with wide receivers. So last week, MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Sky Moore ran 23 routes. Justin Watson and Rashee Rice ran 20. Justin Ross ran 11, and Kadarius Toney ran 2. They're using all of these guys, and Mahomes is spreading the ball around. Until that changes, none of those wide receivers are usable. On the other side, Garrett Wilson, back-end wide receiver, 3. Yikes. Breece Hall, flex. Yikes. I mean, he's trending in the right direction, but it's just so hard to trust any Jets in starting lineups. All right, rounding it out, Seattle and the G-Men. 23.9 to 23.4. Seattle in projections winning, and I do have them winning this game. But this looks like it's going to be an entertaining one. Kenneth Walker rolling. The Giants are a very favorable matchup for opposing running backs. So we're just using the usual suspects, Geno Smith, Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. Saquon, as of right now, he was limited in practice yesterday. So we won't have a determination here likely until Saturday, maybe not even until Monday night. If you have Saquon, grab Matt Breida, because Breida will at least be an RB2 play in this matchup. It's a favorable matchup against Seattle. If Saquon can't go, then you can toss Breida in and call it a day. Darren Waller has been a top 10 fantasy tight end, whether you realize it or not. And this is a great spot for him, so I like him. But here's the risky one, Daniel Jones. He's a top 6 fantasy quarterback for me right now. Daniel Jones can be very good in favorable matchups. Now, do you use Daniel Jones if you have like Trevor Lawrence or somebody like that who's ranked below him? You can. I'm not going to say one way or the other because I don't run your team. You do. However, I will warn you, if you make the decision to go to Daniel Jones this week, you have opened a door. That door is streaming. And if you are not prepared to continue to stream going forward, then don't open the door. But if you don't mind that, if you're the type of manager like, okay, I can get down with that, go for it. There's nothing wrong with it. Now realize as well, Daniel Jones is very, very risky. And just because I'm ranking him as a top 6 does not guarantee anything. But a word to the wise on that. Okay, that's going to do it for today. If you want updated rankings, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Of course, check out ftndaily.com and ftnbets.com as well. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. And I'll catch you on the flip side of the weekend to give you the biggest takeaways from all of the action right here, week 4 NFL fantasy football. But enjoy what you do, and I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.